If someone offends me for no reason at all, then it is that person's problem and has nothing to do with me. There is no reason for me to get angry. End quote. In the past, we tended to lose our tempers, to have the mind of anger. We would do well to sincerely reflect within, remembering that we are only humans, that we all have our faults. Other people have faults, so do we. If we cannot forgive their shortcomings, how can we expect them to forgive ours? When we think about this, we will no longer condemn them for their weaknesses, but we will feel sorry for them. People only make mistakes due to their ignorance, their foolishness. They do not yet have the ability to distinguish between true and false, proper and deviated, harmful and beneficial. Thus, they cannot correct themselves, cannot end their erroneous ways and cultivate kindness. We should feel sorry for them and not reproach them. In so doing, we follow the Buddha's and Bodhisattva's way of interacting with people, matters, and objects. Mr. Liaofan said that when someone offends us for no reason at all, it is their problem, not ours. If someone attacks us unfairly, it does not concern us. There is no reason to become angry. Even if they attack us physically, this body is not us. Our purity of mind will never be hurt by attacks, as purity of mind originally contains nothing. It is a pity that we do not employ purity of mind when we interact with others and matters. What we use is our false mind, which is not the true self. What Buddhism seeks is our original self before we were born to our parents. The original self is the true mind, the pure mind which does not give rise to wandering thoughts. The external environment will not affect the pure mind. It does not concern us, so why let it bother us? Why should we be so attached to it? Once we sever all discriminatory thoughts, attachments, wandering thoughts, think about it. What is there to concern us? Thus, there is no reason for us to get angry. All these observations are from the aspect of reasoning. That thus it is said to have achieved perfect peace of mind through reasoning. By understanding the reasoning, our minds will be settled, no longer affected by the external environment. Regardless of what happens on the outside, that which is within will remain calm. In the midst of favorable conditions, we do not give rise to the heart of greed. In the midst of unfavorable conditions, we do not give rise to the heart of anger. Regardless of the circumstances, we are able to maintain our mind of purity, equality, and compassion to genuinely reform ourselves. From the text. I also think that there is not a great person who thinks that he or she is always right. There is not a truly learned person who blames their faults on others. Therefore, when things do not go the way we wish, it is because we have not cultivated our virtues and morals and have not accumulated enough merits to move others. We should always reflect upon ourselves first and see whether we have mistreated others. In so doing, criticism can actually become a training ground to refine our character and to strengthen our abilities. Therefore, we should be very glad to accept someone else's criticisms and teachings. What is there to be angry and complain about? End quote. This teaches us to reform from the heart, and this is the best way to change. In the Flower Adornment Sutra, the purpose of the 53 visits of Sudana was to practice and learn from experience. It is to cultivate and reform from the mind. Therefore, we need to earnestly reflect upon ourselves. I also think that there is not a great person who thinks that he or she is always right. In Buddhism, Buddhas are great persons, and bodhisattvas are heroes. They stand out among others. They do what others cannot do. Thus, Buddhist main halls are called the Grand Hall of Great Heroes. What ordinary people are unable to do, to regret and reform, the Buddhas do. Buddhas are able to correct all errors. Thus, they are great heroes. Therefore, there is not a self-righteous Buddha or Bodhisattva. There is not a great sage or virtuous person who is not humble, who is not patient, who is not agreeable. Humility and respect are a revelation of our virtuous nature. A truly learned person would never blame others or the heavens. Knowledge and good conduct are wisdom. It is revealed from our true nature, whether it is Buddhism or Confucian teachings. The wisdom spoken of in Confucianism also arises from our self-nature. Thus, it is called the sincere and honest mind. Sincerity is the true mind. It flows from the sincere mind. It is wisdom. It is called knowledge and good conduct. Therefore, a learned, wise person will never blame others or the heavens for their misfortunes. Therefore, one who complains about others is not a genuine, learned person. When things do not go the way we want, it is because we have not done enough to cultivate our morals and virtues. We have not accumulated enough merits to touch others. When we do not succeed in our undertakings, when in everyday life our speech and behavior are criticized or slandered by others and things are not going our way, we do not want to blame those who criticize us. Instead, we would do well to reflect within, to understand that this is because we have not yet achieved in our cultivation of virtues and morals. And this is why we are unable to touch them. Therefore, we need to look within first and see if we have mistreated others. When people verbally abuse us, criticize us, slander us, we accept it. Not only will we not have thoughts of vengeance, but also we will have a grateful heart. Why? They have provided us with invaluable assistance, which can help us to reflect within, to correct the mistakes if we have them, to guard against them if we do not. If we are not at fault, we do not blame them. If we are at fault, then we correct our mistakes immediately. Sudhana adopted this method when visiting his 53 spiritual guides to completely correct all of his faults and to eventually become a Buddha. The 53 visits concern training the mind through experience. Experiences are the interactions we have with others and matters in our daily lives. Everything and everyone provides us with the means to reflect within. Using the external environment, no matter who the individual is, if we are to regard them as our teachers, we are to regard what they teach as lessons taught to us by Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. There is only one student, me. Everyone else is my teacher, my benevolent guide. All are Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. They do not have faults. Only I have faults. This is how Sudhana became a Buddha. When we read in the Flower Adornment Sutra, Sudhana did not change into another body. He became a Buddha in his own body. He started as an ordinary person and continued until he reached the ultimate perfect enlightenment in one lifetime. And if we learn this ability, this method, then we too are assured of becoming a Buddha in this body, in this lifetime. How did Sudhana cultivate? How do we cultivate? First, do not blame everything and everyone else. Blame only ourselves. If other people are disagreeable to us, it is because our karmic obstacles have surfaced. All other people are Buddhas or Bodhisattvas without the slightest fault. Whatever we see that incurs our dislike is our own karmic obstacles, our own faults. The sixth patriarch of Zen, Master Huainong, said it very well. It is our own shortcoming if we see the faults of others, as we fall back also. When we mind the faults of others, our karmic obstacles will surface, and we will fall back. He also said that a true practitioner does not see the faults of others. Sudhana was a true practitioner. He did not see any faults in others. He only saw his own. He was afraid of not having enough time to correct his own faults, much less having enough time to find the faults of others. Thus, he saw everyone as a virtuous person, as a Buddha, as a Bodhisattva. In this way, he also became a Buddha, a Bodhisattva. If we still see the faults of others, it is our fault. Our karmic obstacles come into form. In the eyes of a Buddha, everyone is a Buddha. In the eyes of ordinary beings, even Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are ordinary beings. Criticism can be a good thing. It is not easy for us to discover our faults, even when we try to. When others find them and tell us about them, it will save us a great deal of trouble. Therefore, we should be very glad to accept someone else's criticism, as this is our training ground to refine our character and to fulfill our goals. They have come to help us, to be our benevolent teachers. We simply need to adopt this method of thinking in this way. We will see that there is nothing to be angry about, nothing to complain about. How can we be angry? How can we not accept? How can we give rise to the heart of revenge? This is too great an offense. They are our true benefactors, and we want to repay them with reprisals. This is a major offense. When the Chinese speak of filial piety, we are reminded of Emperor Shun, who lived over 4,000 years ago. In Chinese history, everyone recognizes him as the model of filial piety, able to move heaven and earth. Who helped him to achieve this? His parents and half-brother. After his mother died, Shun's father remarried. When his stepmother mistreated him, his father went along with her. Years later, when his half-brother grew up, he also mistreated Shun. Consequently, 3 people mistreated him. They even tried to kill him. He did not change his gentle heart, but constantly reflected, "Why can I not make my parents and brother happy?" He regarded their actions as his own faults, for he did not see the faults of others. Every day he reflected on his own faults, on how to regret and correct them. In the end, he finally influenced and reformed his whole family. He did not try to run away from home. He did not think of revenge. When Emperor Yao learned of Shun, he chose him as his successor. For if Shun was capable of influencing his family, he was capable of influencing the country. When we want to reform ourselves, we need to have the 3 hearts of shame, fear, and courageous determination. To have a shameful heart is self-awakening. To have a respectful heart is to be conscience-stricken. Only when we have both of these will we give rise to a courageous, determined heart. Once we have these 3 hearts, we will immediately begin to correct our faults. There are 3 methods of practice to help us in correcting our faults. The first is changing through behavior. The second, changing through reasoning. And the third, changing from the heart. Changing through behavior is to find our every fault and then to vow not to commit it again. For example, if we killed living beings in the past, we vow never to kill another living being. If we became angry and yelled at others in the past, we vow never to again become angry. But this is the most difficult way to change because it does not treat the problem. It only treats the symptom. And that even if we currently stop committing the fault by consciously not repeating it, as soon as we relax, the fault will again resurface. So while this method can temporarily correct our faults, it is not a permanent solution. The second method is changing through reasoning. In the example, it is understood that all living beings fear death. Mr. Liaofan particularly emphasized the futility and cruelty of taking another life to nourish our own. Of all animals, humankind is by far the cruelest. We kill for sport, comfort, and food that we really do not need. We slaughter others at will. Another example is anger. There really is no logical reason for us to become angry. When we understand why we commit wrongdoings, we will be much more likely to refrain from committing them in the future. And then we will begin to practice more good deeds. And this is the way we change our lives. And this is the way we will be able to touch others, so that they too may learn how to change their lives and change their destiny. Amitabha. Respected Dharma masters, respected practitioners and guests. In the last talk, we learned that when we want to reform ourselves, we need to have the three hearts of shame, fear, and courageous determination. To have a shameful heart is self-awakening. To have a respectful heart is to be conscience-stricken. Only when we have both will we give rise to a courageous, determined heart. Once we have these three hearts, we will immediately begin to correct our faults. There are three methods of practice to help us in correcting our faults. The first is changing through behavior. The second is changing through reasoning. And the third is changing from the heart. In the sutras, we read of celestial endurance being who helped him to attain achievement? Kaliraja. Buddha Shakyamuni spoke of this example briefly in the Diamond Sutra and gave further examples and further details in the Great Nirvana Sutra. Kaliraja is a Sanskrit word. Translated into Chinese, it means a tyrant, a self-indulgent ruler who is completely without principles. The celestial being was cultivating in the mountains. For no reason at all, Kaliraja lost his temper and had the celestial being put to death by dismemberment. Endurance celestial being did not show the slightest trace of hatred. Indeed, he perfected the paramita of patience. He did not view any person or matter as evil. Think about it. Try to imagine the level of purity of mind that he had attained. What do we learn from our practice of Buddhism? The importance of attaining purity of mind through patience. People might say that we are simply insensitive if we do not differentiate good from bad. Even with the law of cause and effect laid out in front of us, our hearts are pure without any attachments. It is not that we do not understand what is happening around us. We are clear on everything, but we are without the slightest discriminatory thoughts or attachment. As for celestial endurance being, his mind was pure because he had found the true reality. But because sentient beings do have afflictions, it is necessary to explain to them the principles in a progression of ideas. For ourselves, we understand that the four attachments of self, others, phenomena, and time are not real. Everything is equal without the slightest difference. It is to help others. This is to establish differentiation based on the principle of equality. Therefore, differentiation is non-differentiation when it is to benefit others
when it is not for ourselves. Since sentient beings have not yet found their true nature, we would do well to help them learn to correct their erroneous ways and to cultivate good deeds. When we ourselves have attained this state, there will be no more erroneous ways to be ended, no good deeds to be cultivated. This means our minds are in a state of purity and equality, the one true Dharma realm, the state of non-cultivation, the state of non-attachment. Within these, we still do whatever is needed for cultivation and attachment. In so doing, we are not attached to either extreme of emptiness or existence. If we have achieved this state, but do not put it into practice, then we fall into the extreme of emptiness. If we are attached to the appearance of matters and do not thoroughly understand the logic, do not see into our original nature, then we fall into the extreme of existence. We should neither attach to emptiness nor to existence. As great strength Bodhisattva explained, we are to concentrate the six senses on uninterrupted, pure thoughts. With concentration of the six senses, we do not fall into the extreme of existence. With uninterrupted, pure thoughts, we do not fall into the extreme of emptiness. In so doing, our mind is pure without discriminatory thoughts. Everything is in accordance with the true nature. We chant Amitabha continuously, without interruption, from dawn to dusk, without attaching to emptiness or existence. This is what we need to learn. From the text. Additionally, we should maintain the mind of stillness when we are slandered. Although the slanderous rumors and talebearing spread like a huge fire burning to the sky, eventually, like a torch, it will burn itself out in space. End quote. This not only tells us what we should do in principle, but in behavior as well. When others insult and slander us, if we remain calm and unaffected, then naturally, everything will pass. When others verbally abuse us, we need not answer. When they curse us, we just listen. After a few hours, they will get tired and give up. This is a very effective method for handling the situation. When our teacher, Venerable Master Jing Kong, was a teenager studying in school, he learned this from a classmate because he told us that at that time he was very much like Mr. Liao Fan. He loved to ridicule people and play tricks on them. However, that classmate became his spiritual guide. He was overbearing towards him, even ridiculed him in public. But the classmate never responded in kind. It continued like this for an entire year. And in the end, he got through to teacher. This person was truly amazing. He simply did not return one blow or one insult. Teacher learned this skill from him and has used it throughout his life. Remaining calm and unaffected can also serve to increase the cultivation of ourselves. As for accumulating good fortune, average people would praise us even more, saying that we were truly good practitioners. If it were not for these people insulting us, then we would not have the opportunity to practice endurance. They have come to help us succeed in our practice. Why would we not accept their help? If someone treats us like this at work, and we can interact with them with a mind of purity, our supervisor will admire us, our co-workers will respect us, and our opportunity for promotion will be greater than ever. This person has brought a great advantage to us. Why would we not want to accept it? When teacher was in school and two students would quarrel, usually the teacher would punish both of them. The students would feel that this was very unfair. They would feel that they were right and had thus been unfairly punished. He said that it was not until much later that he understood. In any argument, any fight, both parties are at fault. Both parties are at the same level. If one is high and the other is low, then the argument would not have taken place. For example, an adult would not fight with a child. It was very logical. Now, when we encounter this kind of situation, we can tell right away the high or low level of the cultivator. Thus, when we encounter these matters, we need to know that these individuals are our benefactors. They have come to give us a gift. We cannot return their kindness with ingratitude. First, they have come to test our level of cultivation. Second, we will accumulate good fortune, for we are about to gain the praise and respect of others. Therefore, these benefactors are not bad people, but are actually good friends whom we do not want to wrongly accuse from the text. If we hear others slandering us, get angry, and try to defend ourselves, it would be just like the spring silkworm, spinning its own cocoon, tying itself in suffering. Therefore, no benefit, but rather harm, is derived from getting angry. End quote. What this passage teaches is not only important in worldly teachings, but also in Buddhism. There are two essential practices in the six paramitas of bodhisattvas. The first is giving. When we practice giving, we cultivate good fortune, and we cannot live without good fortune. This is even truer for Buddhas. We call these perfectly awakened ones, Buddhas with perfect wisdom and good fortune. They are unsurpassed in wisdom and good fortune. Thus, it is logical for us to seek these qualities, as our self-nature was originally complete with them. There are three kinds of giving. From the giving of wealth, we attain wealth. From the giving of teaching, we gain wisdom. And from the gaining of fearlessness, we attain health and long life. This is what all sentient beings seek. The Buddha taught us that by planting good causes, we are assured of harvesting good results. The other paramita is the paramita of patience. This enables us to maintain the good fortune that we have already cultivated. If we only practice giving and gain good fortune, but do not practice patience, we will lose our good fortune. The Diamond Sutra tells us that everything is attained through patience. We have no choice but to cultivate the paramita of patience to safeguard achievements, whether Buddhist or worldly. We often read in the sutras of the fire burning our forest of merits. What is this fire? Anger, hatred. If we lose our temper, we will lose all of our merits as well. Thus, it is extremely difficult to cultivate and keep these merits. If we want to know how much merit we have accumulated, think of the last time we gave way to anger. When we give rise to one angry thought, the fire burns our forest of merits. If Pure Land practitioners were to get angry during their last moments, all would be lost. This explains why the Buddha taught us not to touch the body of the person who is deceased within 8 hours of their passing away. Although the person has breathed their last breath, the spirit has not entirely left the body. If we were to touch them, most likely we would cause the deceased to become angry. If he or she were to become angry at this critical moment, they would lose all their merits. Thus, merits are indeed difficult to cultivate and accumulate, for they can be lost at any moment. However, our good fortune and virtue will remain intact. What is merit? It is the pure mind, concentration, wisdom. Think about it. How can we lose our temper but keep our concentration or our wisdom? We cannot. As for good fortune, it is our wealth and intelligence. When our mind attains constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha, one mind undisturbed, we can accumulate merits and virtues. But with just one outburst of our temper, all is lost. No more constant mindfulness of Buddha, no more one mind undisturbed. Therefore, we need to constantly bear in mind that merits are difficult to keep. So we need to maintain a high level of vigilance. In our cultivation on the path to awaken, our enemies will often come to create trouble for us. Why? They have an overwhelming need for revenge. They see that we are about to succeed in our achievement and know that once we have attained achievement, they will no longer have the opportunity for revenge. Thus, they will do all they can to obstruct us, to block us in our progress. And the way they hinder us, the way they obstacle us, is by making us destroy, making us burn our forest of merits. But if we are determined not to have our merits destroyed, then no external force can do so. Sometimes, when we encounter unpleasant circumstances or personal problems, we become unhappy and lose our tempers. Who makes us